This is the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is all about the Oscars, the 95th Annual Academy Awards. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today is my fellow co-host, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
We are, you might hear a little difference in our audio because we are calling live from South by Southwest because somebody at the Academy thought, let's have the Oscars during one of the most major film festivals available. So we are at South by Southwest, and we took time out of our busy schedule to talk to you about the Academy Awards.
It's actually kind of cool because we saw, and shocking too, some of the actors who were at South by were at the Oscars. So overnight, they got back to LA in time.
Elizabeth Olsen was there like yesterday.
She was.
She moves, really was. Man. By the way, Jesse Plemons, skinny. He's very skinny now.
He's looking good.
Let's go easy on that, but he's skinny. Good for him. Good for him. I need to get on whatever regimen he's on.
So we have called working out, Aaron.
Yeah, and diet and exercise. I really think that shit's overrated. By the way, if you haven't listened before, go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's thehollywoodoutsider.com. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider, where right now, I believe, John Davenport, our fellow co-host, and I don't know if Troy's on this one or not, but they have wrapped up The Last of Us. So they did a week-by-week podcast that was exclusive to Patreon that you can hear right now on there. So definitely check that out if you get the chance. Patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Again, we're TheHollywoodOutsider.com. We'll have a lot of South by reviews going. So are you guys ready to break down the award winners?
Yes, we are, Aaron.
Okay, cool.
Are you going to talk for me? This is a one-man show.
I'm talking for everybody. Well, we'll keep it moving that way. Jimmy Kimmel was the host. Any thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel?
You know, I think he did a good job. He was funny. I like his jokes that he was making. He had no qualms making jabs, but I think probably because he had the crisis team at his side, he was ready.
What a ridiculous concept. What a ridiculous concept. We have to have a crisis team because we can't control the slappers. I mean, here's an idea. Kick the guy out if it happens again. It's really all you had to do.
Literally.
It's literally all you had to do.
All we need is somebody in an aisle seat to just stick their foot out and trip the asshole.
I kind of like the fact that they can't get away from it, and even the host isn't walking away from it. He's like, let's just keep making this joke. Let's just keep making fun of the Academy for not taking care of what they should have taken care of.
I mean, Chris Rock made jokes about it, and that was pretty recent, too. So I feel like if the guy who got slapped...
He had the right to, though.
He did. Yeah. But I feel like if he can make jokes about it, he's in the place where he's ready to laugh about it, then why can't the rest of us?
You think Jada and Will are sitting at home watching this?
That's a good question, since they don't have an invitation anymore. It was revoked.
Well, his is revoked. She can show up anytime she wants.
I don't think she's gonna.
She didn't do anything wrong. I do like that Halle Berry was the replacement for Will Smith in the Best Actress Award.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, that's an upgrade, man. That's an upgrade. I love you, Will, but, you know, even sans slap. But, yeah, definitely. Halle Berry. Okay.
Not to be confused with Halle Bailey.
Only that's never going to happen in my world because I know who Halle Berry is. And I've known for a long time. And
we've all known. Since Swordfish.
Got stories. Okay. So we're going to go through all the winners in the order they were given. And then we'll discuss anything that needs to be discussed. Some of the ones like short documentary shorts and things like that you probably don't know, but we're going to make sure you know by the time we're done.
Just in case you want to check it out.
Just in case you care. And we'll tell you which movies and actors were right or wrong, or maybe should have went this way, should have went that way. You know, those sorts of things.
Without using the word snub. We don't snub.
Yeah, I hate the word snub. Just don't like it, because it's not a snub if you don't get something. Just means you didn't get it. It happens. It
means you sucked.
No, it doesn't.
I'm just kidding.
Angela Bassett's giving you side eye.
She's giving everybody side eye. Oh. She's giving Jamie Lee side eye.
Can I just say that she got a lot of flack, like she wasn't being generous because she didn't win. And I did not see that.
I didn't either.
I saw somebody who was disappointed, and rightfully so, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I don't know how it escalated to the point where everyone thinks
it's
that.
The internet.
It is the internet. And they're like disappointed in her reaction, and I don't think that it's valid or necessary. to me, she did, to your point, just look like somebody who was disappointed that they didn't win. Mm-hmm. You know, she may feel, she may have that opinion, obviously, that her performance may have been better than Jamie Lee Curtis. So maybe she's feeling those emotions. Who knows? Maybe. That would all be speculation. But people are just making the assumption that it was in a negative way. And I didn't get that feeling. You didn't get that feeling.
Not at all.
So I don't know. The internet, man.
So let me just squash this. Oh, look. White people telling black people how to feel. That's nice. Nice. There you go. Now you feel bad? Because you should. She didn't do anything wrong. All right. Best animated feature film. The nominees were Del Toro's Pinocchio, or Pokio.
That's or Pokio? That's a different movie.
That's not Pornhub. Marcel, the Shell with the Shoes On. Say that three times real fast. Puss in Boots. The Last Wish. The Sea Beast. And Turning Red. Puss in Boots was my preferred winner.
Turning Red was mine.
Well, neither one
F
got
you,
it.
Troy!
Pinocchio. Yeah, Troy, if you never listen, he hates that movie. And
for no good reason.
Well, I'm sure his reasons are fine.
He thinks he has a reason, but they're not critical reasons.
You know, he was right that it didn't deserve the Oscar because it didn't win. So Del Toro's Pinocchio won. They made a nice plea for animation.
That was sweet.
It was sweet. I did watch some of that movie. It's like stop motion, so it's not for me, but it was fine. It's fine. I love when Oscars go to fine movies, you know?
Yeah.
That really makes me go, ooh. But thankfully, we followed that up with the best supporting actor, which the nominees were Ke Huy Quan for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Brendan Gleeson for The Banshees of Inisherin, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway, Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans and his 5 minutes of screen time, Barry Keoghan for The Banshees of Inisherin. All of those were deserving nominees, except Judd Hirsch, because you were barely there. Sorry.
So that just means the gravity of his performance outweighed everyone else in their length.
I love that movie, but he does nothing in it that really amounts to an Academy Award nomination. But Ke Huy Quan, Short Round himself, won. Indiana Jones and Willie were in the building.
Isn't that cool?
Because Kate Capshaw is Steven Spielberg's wife. It was cool. And I'm very disappointed that nobody did like a Temple of Doom hug. Like, I would have loved it.
That would have been sweet.
We needed Mola Ram to show up or something. And maybe, I don't know, they could have rolled Ke Huy Quan up there on one of those little rail sidecars and just had a whole
That's very elaborate.
I think that would have been awesome.
Or just toss him a hat. Toss him the hat in a rope or something. And be like...
Even Harrison Ford, I'll talk about it when we get to Best Picture, but you missed a window, buddy, and I'm forever going to be disappointed about it, because I feel like Harrison Ford was the grumpy old guy who's like, I can't believe I'm out of bed this late.
What we should talk about, though, is how incredible Ke Huy Quan's performance was in Everything Everywhere All at
Absolutely.
Once, and how deserving, and his speech was so moving.
So sweet.
So impactful. I don't think that there was a dry eye anywhere in
Shout
that building.
Shout out to his wife, Echo, who he thanked for 20 years of never losing support, constantly telling him that, just keep with it, you're going to make
coming.
It, your time's coming. And part of me is like, well, I mean, if you say anything for 20 years every day in a row, eventually you're probably going to be right.
You're bound to get something correct.
Might not be as impressive as you thought, but hey, it works for him. Made his life happy.
But to be fair, there's no way that she could have predicted that entire time that he would have. I mean, she obviously predicted. She hoped and thought he would get to this level.
She just kept him in the game. She kept him motivated. She knew it was his dream, and he said, never give up on your dreams, which is accurate. Unless, what if your dream is to be a serial killer? Can you give up then?
I think maybe you should try.
I mean, really, I think we should put disclaimers on this. We should put barriers. I don't think you should just make an all-encompassing
dream
statement.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street. That's dreams. Those dreams should stay alive. Come on, Ke Huy Quan. But I'm happy for Short Round. That was extremely
I know that was very important to you,
Very
too.
Emotional for me, because to me, he'll always be this... A tiny little kid.
Yeah. So. I think there are a lot of people who see him that way, too. Because if you looked in the audience and everyone's reaction to his winning and then someone else's winning, we'll talk about.
We were the same age as him when he was in Temple of Doom. And, like, everybody that loved that movie and Goonies wondered what happened to him. And to know that him and Brendan Fraser both are winning Oscars.
Fraser.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't screw it up.
I said it like Pauly Shore sitting at home. I'm sorry. The two guys from Encino Man won. I think that's pretty awesome. Sean Austin. Aston. Didn't say, I can't see anybody's name right.
Yeah.
He didn't win anything.
Say your own name, Aaron. I don't trust
Aaron.
It.
Aaron. Aaron. But any more thoughts on Ki-Hai Kwan? I mean, he's kind of won every award, so he seemed like the shoe.
Yeah, I fully expected him to win this award. I think we all would have been very disappointed in the Academy had he not. But to your point, I think there are a lot of people who grew up with him, and, you know, from that age who are in the voting for this. And mm-hmm. so they feel his growth. They feel the support. They're showing their support. But also, he was very deserving of the award. It Absolutely. Wasn't just because, you know, there was all the support for a comeback. It was, and I've heard those comments online for a couple of winners, but I don't think that's the case. The winners, especially for this category, Ki-Hai Kwan deserved his award.
Yeah, and what's funny is you and I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once at the premiere at South by Southwest 1 year and 1 day ago. And I remember seeing that movie and walking out going, that is an amazing, creative, brilliant film that no one will ever watch.
Yeah, it's shocking how much notoriety it's gotten.
It's insane.
And people that I never would have expected to enjoy that type of film.
People that don't typically like butt
plugs. Oh my gosh. And also, I mean, we're going to talk about Jamie Lee Curtis in a little bit, but there was a lot of...
Literally next.
Yeah, there's a lot of googly eyes and a lot of support from that perspective, and I thought that was really cool. Like, the cast of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
They kept doing the... I'm sorry, finish your thought.
Oh, everyone seems to be so close-knit and friends and family from that production and so supportive of each other, and it made my heart warm up to see how sweet they were to each other.
And they kept doing, like, googly eyes. Eyes with her hands, basically. Is that what she was? They kept doing.
Well, I think so because
like
they kind of
Illuminati.
Yeah, they kind of do some of that symbology or whatever symbolism.
Yeah.
In the film, so I think they were just continuing
to
reference.
Like, while they were sitting there, they were doing makeshift googly eyes with their hands, and I'm just like, you look like cults. Just stop that.
You look like you're in a cult.
I'm like, is this where Tom Cruise is right now? He's he's a googly eye cult. Just kidding. We love the Cruise.
Some of us do.
Well, I love the Cruise. Very sad that he didn't go. But, I mean, they keep making fun of him. The guy just freaking saved movie theaters, according to Steven Spielberg. And they they're still making cracky jokes about Scientology at the event.
Well, but Scientology is pretty weird. But where was he? What was he doing?
I'm sure he had a meeting with Xenu or something. I don't know.
It's time for the gods.
He was probably...
Sunday is for the gods.
Jumping off... Sunday's for the... He was jumping off a cliff. Doing some kind of cliff diving.
Probably.
Best Supporting Actress, the nominees were Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau for The Whale, Carrie Condon for The Banshees of Inisherin, and Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and all deserving. I mean, really, all were deserving. Mm-hmm. I think going in... A while ago, Angela Bassett was the favorite, and then somewhere along the way, Jamie Lee Curtis started picking up a lot of other awards, too. So it was really between those two all throughout, and Jamie Lee Curtis ultimately won. So what do you think about that? Because I thought Angela Bassett was fantastic. I mean, that was the best performance in Wakanda Forever.
It was, for sure.
And I thought Jamie Lee Curtis was fantastic, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I honestly, I would have been good either way.
I would have too. I think the problem comes into which when you have a preference of performance, they had such drastically different characters that it's hard to say one person was more deserving than the other because it's not exactly the, I mean, obviously they're having to live to the full potential of that character. Angela Bassett had a very emotional, like very intense performance. Well, on the alternative, Jamie Lee Curtis had to live up to this very vivacious and crazy character. With hot dog fingers. And I think making that character someone that we could still care about, someone that we still, in some capacity, wanted to still see return to the screen, despite how weird and bizarre so much of the film was, says a lot about her performance. Mm-hmm. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I think she's deserved this for a long time. I think she deserved it for Everything All at Once, Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I definitely see Angela Bassett as being, you know, right there with Jamie Lee Curtis. It's hard to say which one
Well, I love Jamie Lee Curtis' speech. She's always somebody that seems to really respect everybody. I love that she paid nod to genre, which has really been her staple for most of her career. You know, she could have just got up there and been like a lot of Oscar winners and just said, "Hey, thank you for my performance," and da 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 da. But instead, she made sure to pay mention to all her genre fans, which is awesome. I thought that was great.
Also, not only that, she accepted the award with every single group of individuals who were part of this.
Sure.
So from the cast and the crew to the fans to, you know, A24 and all of these different
parents.
And her parents, you know, it was very emotional. And basically my takeaway from her speech was, even though like I'm up here alone, I'm not alone in this. There are so many people who have supported her and got her to the place where she's at. And so for her to kind of share that moment with everybody else and not take it just for herself shows what a great human being she is. And my favorite part of her speech is when she called Michelle Yeoh her bae. I thought that was amazing, and it really shows the level of their relationship, even when they got to the best actress category and they were holding hands together across a husband. I just thought it was so sweet and really shows how impactful this film was on their personal lives too. But we love and we stan the Curtis. She's our fucking queen.
Jeez. Okay, I just really like her. She's not my queen.
She's a queen.
She's not my queen.
She's a queen.
Angela Bassett was a literal queen. So
she was a literal queen.
Both of them
are queens.
Best documentary feature. The nominees were All That Breathes, All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, Fire of Love, A House Made of Splinters, and Navalny. And Navalny won. And if you don't know what Navalny is, it's basically centered around Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny and the events that led to his poisoning. So it's Russian poisoning. Imagine that. Probably Putin. Just saying. Now, it's just an opinion. I don't know. I didn't see this movie, but it was good enough to win the Oscar. Not a whole lot more to speak on that unless you know more about that film than I'm aware of.
No.
Okay.
Congrats.
Best live action short. The nominees were An Irish Goodbye, Evolu, Le Pupil, Night Ride, and The Red Suitcase. And the winner was An Irish Goodbye, which, if anyone doesn't know what an Irish goodbye is, it's the best way to leave a party. It's basically you just show up, have fun, and leave, and don't tell anyone.
You got to sneak out.
That's what an Irish goodbye is. You don't tell anyone, you just leave.
And then 2 hours later, they're like, "Where did Aaron go?" And they text him, and he just doesn't respond for 2 days. And he's like, "That's how that's how you say goodbye.
That's how you leave a party, man. That's how you leave a party." Best cinematography. The nominees were All Quiet on the Western Front, James Friend, Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths by Darius Conji, Elvis from Mandy Walker, Empire of Light by the great Roger Deakins.
Love him.
Who also said the best cinematography was The Batman, and it wasn't nominated. So damn, if Roger Deakins says it,
right,
then I'm sure that's probably what it should be. And Tar, Florian Hofmeister. The winner was All Quiet on the Western Front. Beautifully shot film. Mm-hmm. It's available on Netflix if you want to watch it. It is also a foreign film, so get ready for subtitles. But it's worth it. Yeah, it's a good film. Good film. Good cinematography. Got no problem with it winning. Best Makeup and Hairstyling. The nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Elvis, and The Whale. And the winner was The Whale, which, okay. Yeah, he had a great hairstyle in that.
if you think about how long it took for the prosthetics to get applied.
For the body and
da
da da da. That's why if you really deserve the Oscar, he would want a full method. Gained 500 pounds and just sat there.
He didn't need to do that, though.
No, he's an actor.
Yeah.
He's an actor. He got makeup and they won an Oscar for it. So,
you know, honestly,
his whole performance basically won 2 Oscars.
Yeah. The internets, though, are not as taking to this.
Why? Because it should have went to a comic book movie?
Well, no. Not because of the category, but there are a lot of people who have problems with them adding prosthetics to enhance somebody's weight who isn't you know, that obese.
Because there's a lot of 600-pound actors out there.
Ready to go. I know. And that's the
carry,
thing.
That could carry a feature film.
So listen.
I mean, that would be ridiculous at this point.
I'm a plus-size woman, okay. And I have no problem with them adding prosthetics to get to what they want to see. And they obviously, you know, his performance was obviously what they were looking for and what we all wanted to see. So why discount an actor? That's part of their job. We change people's appearance for the role that they're in.
And it's called acting. If you can only cast the people that are handicapped or that have disabilities or that are overweight or that their sexuality is this or that, which you shouldn't be asking anyone anyway because isn't that illegal? I don't understand where this is. Like, it's acting. It's acting. Some of the greatest performances are from Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. Yes, he was never a gay man with AIDS, but he was a fantastic actor in it. And it's supposed to be acting. I think people just need something to be mad about. And yeah. It's just ridiculous. Oh, my God. I can't.
Anyway, yeah. Congratulations yes. to Adrian, Judy, and Anne Marie.
Yeah, we know them that well. We can just call them.
No, but I just like to call them out because those teams have to go through so much brutal work.
Yeah.
And those individuals rarely get good recognition. It's more just the film that gets the recognition.
Best costume design. The nominees were Babylon, Elvis. Oh, thank you very much. Everything Everywhere All at Once, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, and Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which won for Ruth E. Carter, and the E stands for earned it.
They did earn it. The costume design for that film was phenomenal and exceeded my expectations. But I mean, they have the budget for it. Yeah, so.
And that's easily... the one I could see Babylon getting an Oscar for
yeah,
that. I could
yeah.
see Elvis getting that. And but Wakanda Forever, I mean, it's stunning costume yeah, design.
Absolutely.
So it totally fit.
And great speech. I really loved her speech too.
Yes, yes. It was very good. Best International Feature Film. The nominees were All Quiet on the Western Front, Argentina 1985, Close, EO, and The Quiet Girl, because India did not submit RRR. For international film because they dumb. I don't understand it. It would have swept this.
Yeah, would have been an easy shoo-in.
But whatever. All Quiet on the Western Front won, which as soon as that happens, you know what's not winning Best Picture. I don't care if it was nominated. But congratulations to them. It's a very good film. And happy to see it. Okay, now we go to Best Documentary Short Film. The Elephant Whisperers, Halut. How Do You Measure a Year? The Martha Mitchell Effect, Stranger at the Gate. The winner was The Elephant Whisperers, which I know nothing about, but congratulations to them. I got nothing to add. You have anything you want to add?
No, I haven't seen the short films.
Speaking of things I haven't seen, Best Animated Short Film. The nominees, The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and the Horse, The Flying Sailor, Ice Merchants, My Year of Dicks. And an ostrich told me the world is fake, and I think I believe it. Well, number one, I do got to see My Year of Dicks.
We saw a wall of dicks this year.
At South By. But yeah. You got to tune in to the South By podcast to hear about that. It's not going to be here. But I might watch that with Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I think it might be a good compliment.
Yeah. Good pairing.
Yeah. The winner was The Boy, The Mole, The Fox, and The Horse. So congratulations to them. All right, production design. We move to the nominees on All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Babylon, which again, I could see that winning, Elvis, The Fabelmans, and the winner was All Quiet on the Western Front. See, if you're seeing a trend, what this means is you should watch All Quiet on the Western Front because obviously they wanted to pick it, but they also didn't want to pick it because you would think Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to sweep everything, but they didn't. They didn't sweep it. All Quiet on the Western Front is an extremely well-done film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Best Original Score. Now, obviously, the score, unlike the soundtrack, that's not songs. It's just music. It's the themes.
It's instrumentals.
Instrumental. It's whatever blends you into the film. The nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Babylon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and The Fabelmans. And the winner was Volker Bertelmann for All Quiet on the Western Front. The trend continues. Great score, though.
Honestly, surprised that John Williams didn't take it, just because he's such an incredible composer. But at the same time, All Quiet on the Western Front had a fantastic score. And it's also the type of film that I can see them. There's more to it. There's more the composer has to do to get things, you know, aligned and where they need to be for the film.
Personally, I thought Babylon should have won this. Babylon has a fantastic score, even though the movie is just okay. It has a great, great score. Fableman, I mean, John Williams has been nominated like 50-some times and only won like 5. So, but he has some of the best themes of any film composer in history. Best visual effects, also known as for the category, if it's anybody but, I don't understand this award. But the nominees are Avatar, The Way of Water, All Quiet on the Western Front, The Batman, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and Top Gun Maverick. And I would say, if it's anybody but Avatar, The Way of Water, I don't understand this award because it revolutionized special effects. And it won. Congratulations.
Yep, absolutely. It won.
And I love how they only name Joe Lettieri, Richard Benjamin, Eric Sangdon, and Daniel Barrett for this award when there were probably 500 people that worked on it.
Right.
Yeah. But congratulations, because those effects are really what make the entire movie.
And also why people have stayed with the Avatar franchise that's coming, because of the effects. It revolutionized it. Then
definitely not story.
That's what I mean, but I'm trying to say it in a gentle way.
Yeah. Was there a story?
What story?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a story.
No offense, Stephen.
I mean, there's a lot of water. I think Kevin Costner showed up at one point. anybody? Best original screenplay. This is another of those, if it's anybody but, I don't understand this award. So the nominees were The Banshees of Inisherin, The Fablemans, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar, Triangle of Sadness, and the winner was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because if it's anybody but that, I don't understand this award. It's the most original creative thing of any of these nominees. And the winners were Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. The Daniels is what they're known as mm-hmm. a directing duo. Fantastic that they won.
I love them. They're so awesome.
So genuine. And they won multiple times here, which you'll hear again in a second. And they were so supportive. And they were so positive. And they were so mm-hmm. upbeat. And it's just like, and Daniel Kwan is obviously the better speaker of the two of them, because he's just all like, love and share and be there for everybody. And I'm like, that's a message. Love it.
Yeah. Congratulations. You said everything I would have had to say.
Did you see Martin McDonagh?
No.
He had Angela Bassett face. That's
like the real, perceived Bassett face. Yeah,
he had that side eye. Every time he lost, he's just like, man, I'm never going to get my Oscar when I deserve it.
Well, sorry about it, man. Wasn't as cool and original and unique. And
sorry, buddy. Your movie was just a breakup for dudes. That's all it was. That's all that movie
breakup
was.
Breakup for dudes.
It's a good movie, but that's all it was. Nothing special there. Best Adapted Screenplay. Nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, Living, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. And just so if you didn't know, Adapted Screenplay, that's where sequels have to go because the characters have already been created. Da, 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 da. And the winner was Women Talking, Sarah Polley. Do you have an opinion on this before I say something manly?
I haven't seen Women Talking, so I'll let you say your thoughts.
Okay. It's tricky because I know I'm a guy, so I'm not mm-hmm. allowed to speak on anything.
But you're speaking
women
from
talking.
A critic's perspective.
From a critic's perspective, it's not a great movie. It's not. It's one of the best ideas for a movie I've heard in a long time. The whole idea, the concept of the movie is that women from this group in the middle of the plains, basically, which they're living more of a less modern time. You know, people still have cars and whatnot, but they're mm-hmm. still living a very Amish-y lifestyle. And what is happening is our men have come into their bedroom. They have drugged them. They have raped them. They have impregnated them. And these women were basically told that it was demonic. It was, you know, their sins. And so they were told,
putting it on the women.
They were basically saying it never happened. Mm-hmm. And then if it did happen, it's because of their transgressions and whatnot. And then the men are taken and they finally caught. They're taken in. And then they're going to be released, and the women have to have a meeting to decide, do they leave this commune of sorts and start a new life and take their children with them, or do they stay and fight? That's the debate. It's a great idea for a movie. And I think there are moments of possible greatness. It never hits it, though. Like, I don't...
But is it because of the execution from the director's standpoint? No, or is it really
the
like...
The movie's basically a play. It's just people talking. So I get the script is very important, obviously. So, yeah. So maybe it's the way that it was delivered. I mean, I think it's a good film. It's just not anything that blew me away. I can... All Quiet on the Western Front, much better film. A much better, I think it's a better script. Glass Onion, I think, is a better script. Top Gun Maverick, I don't think it's a better script. Living is a great script. So, I mean, all of these are worthy, and I'm not knocking that Sarah Polley doesn't deserve her award. I'm just saying I think that film should have been great. Everything about it, the actors, the setup, the way that it's, everything should be great. Instead, it's a lot of monologuing, and it's an actor's dream for mm-hmm. sure, but even that didn't really deliver as much as it should.
To me, it sounds like the execution of the screenplay was very poor. And I wonder,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I do wonder if when they're doing the evaluation for screenplay, if they're evaluating it based on, like, the actual script. Like, are they looking at the packet of the script
versus the film?
But it's an
extremely, you know, in this post-Me Too movement time, it's an extremely important idea for a film. Like, it really is. And it is a good execution of it. It's just... So much of the dialogue feels like someone talking to me instead of to each other.
Mm.
It feels almost like a lesson.
Yeah.
And that's where I struggle with it, I guess. But it's not a bad film. I definitely think people should see it and judge for yourself. Just my opinion. But I'm not taking away. She won the award, and she should have won the award, I guess, because they said so. Best sound. So the nominees here are All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Batman, Elvis, and Top Gun Maverick. I think all of these are deserving. No real problems here, but Top Gun Maverick took the award. It's the only Oscar it won was Best Sound.
But they also shared when they were going through this category that Top Gun Maverick recorded the true sound of the fighter jets and all of that. And so I think that speaks to why it won. Because of the lengths they had to go to emulate that sound. And it wasn't even just recreating. A lot of times when they're doing Best Sound, they're doing it within a studio versus actually finding a way to record that in the most realistic way possible. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
Me too. Okay, so we are on to Best Film Editing. And I think probably one of the best speeches of the night, my personal thoughts. I'm sorry, I almost skipped it. Best Original Song. I'm just kidding. So let's go backwards. So Best Original Song. Nominees were Applause from Tell It Like a Woman, Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick, Lift Me Up from Black Panther Wakanda Forever. That's Rihanna. Natu Natu from RRR, and This Is a Life from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And the winner was Natu Natu from RRR. Thank God, because that movie deserved to win.
It's very catchy.
Something. Have you ever seen the movie yet?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
So good.
You're making me feel really bad about myself. I really failed last year with keeping up on my Oscars.
It was an insane special effects bonanza.
Yeah.
One would say.
But I did watch the performance in the film of it, and I love the choreography too. I think they did a phenomenal job making it as fun as it was.
It was definitely fun. Okay, now Best Film Editing. I swear, this time. nominees were The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, and the winner was Paul Rogers for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which that movie deserved to win because the editing was insane.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul Rogers dropped up there and said, this is his second film, gave a very humble speech and, you know, thanked everyone. I just thought his was the most genuine, kind speech, didn't do anything crazy and just got off the stage. I really loved his speech. I think it was just because usually they feel so rehearsed and his felt like very natural and genuine.
Yeah. No, it did. I think it was very funny that he was like, this is wild because this is only the second movie I've ever done. Could you imagine if you made your second film and it won an Oscar? What the hell?
Can you imagine being the other four nominees that probably have
been... Yeah, right. Who've been doing it for 25 years.
Get off there, Paul. I'm really tired of hearing your shit. All right. So best director. The nominees were Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans. Todd Fields for Tar. And Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. And this is where Martin McDonagh definitely looked like
People pissed. Think
Angela Bassett looks, but she doesn't. And he did look pissed. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Very deserving. Insane because, I mean, their last movie was basically Weekend at Bernie's with a farting corpse. So
I did like that movie, though.
These guys have come a long way.
They have. But you know what? They really, you can tell they poured their heart and soul into it. We could tell that last year when we saw them through their Q&A. They were so passionate, and they have been this entire time, about what they created and how inventive and unique. And I mean, just think about the concept of the film and then imagine yourself trying to make that come to fruition and reality in the way that they did. I could not imagine an individual or a team more deserving of this award than the Daniels.
And before we move on, I do want to talk about the rest of the ceremony. Songs, we didn't get to see all of them. I tried to watch a little clips of all of them, but because we were at the... At the film festival, we were actually in movies. So we were actually watching movies. We were watching The New Hypnotic with Ben Affleck.
Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez had one of the best Q&As of all time. Again, tune into our South by Southwest episode. You'll hear more about that.
We love the RR.
Yeah.
Not and the RRR, which is also great, but
apparently, the RR. You don't know. You don't know.
I know the double R. I know the double R.
But we saw a lot of the other parts of the ceremony and... The In Memoriam, I think, should get a special shout out. I know
weird, Lenny but Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz crushed it.
Also, that man is going to be beautiful until he dies.
I almost said killed it, and then I remembered In Memoriam.
That would have been really bad.
I did not do it, but it's also, very well done.
We need to also talk about the introduction to the In Memoriam, too.
Why? I don't remember. What am I forgetting? Oh. So you think we should talk about something you don't remember?
I can't remember his name right now. This is so embarrassing.
John Travolta.
John Travolta. This is so embarrassing.
Sure.
He would. First of all,
you. It's great for me.
I know, right? His introduction to the In Memoriam was so emotional and touching, and I think it was. It took a second for me to remember that she had passed away and why he was so emotional. Mm. But I also think that that was the perfect way to transition and that they gave him that opportunity to be the one to introduce the In Memoriam. So that's all.
He was hopelessly devoted.
Aww.
That was a little thing that he did in there. So obviously the tie into Olivia Newton-John, but did he forget Kirstie Alley passed away too? And he did three movies with her.
Well, he didn't say anything.
That's true. He didn't name anybody. Everybody's like, well, it's for Olivia. Well, maybe it was for both of them.
It was probably for both. He went through a lot of grief last year.
He did not seem like he was acting. He seemed like he was genuinely
upset. Yeah, it was so... It made me tear up. And then you transition to Lenny Kravitz's beautiful voice.
Crushed it. And that song
was so wonderful.
Crushed it. Also,
so wonderful.
So jealous of how handsome that man is at his age. And
you should be. You'll never be that handsome.
No, never will be.
Most people will never be that handsome.
And he's playing piano with sunglasses on.
I know, right?
I know people.
And he can still see. It's crazy.
Jesus. Unlike Ray Charles, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh. Just moving on from that one. All right, best lead actor nominees were Austin Butler for Elvis, Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin, and Brendan Fraser for The Whale. We've been saying his name wrong for our entire lives. Paul Mescal for After Sun and Bill Nighy for Living. The winner was Brendan Fraser and gave an impassioned speech. Go ahead, speak to the Fraser.
I was
Fraser.
Sobbing.
Fraser. I gotta retrain my brain.
Eraser Fraser.
Gotcha.
That's the best I can do. It was so sweet because you could tell how much it meant to him by looking at his body language, by listening to what he had to say, his speech. He's obviously had a long journey. He's overcome a lot, you know, from the personal and professional aspect. And what I really loved is that he acknowledged that there was a facility that he didn't, you know, fully appreciate until more recently. And so I think for him to go through that moment, for us to witness his revival of a career, which we've all been rooting for so many years. He is such a tremendous actor, and for him to have that opportunity in front of all of his peers, and he was just so sweet about it and so emotional. And I couldn't stop crying. I was sobbing immediately as soon as I saw his face before they even announced he won. I was like, he's got this. Yeah. He's going to win. And I'm about to start crying.
Ki Hai Kwan was more impactful for me personally, just because he registered more for me as a kid. But
Brendan Fraser sweet. Was like he someone was for me. Yeah. Like as when I was growing up, sure. he was probably more of someone that I connected with and resonated with, and obviously, you know, thought was phenomenal and fantastic and beautiful, especially as Tarzan. But
not as Tarzan. George the Jungle.
George the Jungle,
have
whatever.
Have you watched these movies?
Man, I don't have a memory.
I guess not.
I don't. My God. He basically was Tarzan.
No, he was George the Jungle. It's a totally different character.
It is, but it's basically Tarzan. I'm just really digging a hole at this point.
He went from that to the whale, and I think that's a...
a big jump.
That's a character slope right there. An arc, if you will. But yeah, congratulations to him. That's awesome. Because I know even he was saying he thought his career was kind of done. And now he's probably going to get a lot more offers than he's had in a long time. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Best lead actress. The nominees were Cate Blanchett for Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde, Andrea Riseborough for Tu Leslie, Michelle Williams for The Fablemans, and Michelle...
she's so overrated!
And Michelle Yeoh for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Do you want to speak on Michelle Williams? Apparently there's an issue there.
No, I just... what did Michelle ever do to you? She continues to get nominated in every single... I mean, don't get me wrong. I think she deserves a nomination for some of her performances. But I just think she's such an overrated actress because she, to me, does not have like a large emotional range, but she always has an emotionally ranged character. Mm. And so I never feel like she really lives up to her potential. Yeah, she never hits it for me, which is why she didn't win it. And I'm not mad about it. Michelle Yeoh knocked it out of the park. And this was the moment that was so sweet to me because Jamie Lee Curtis and Michelle Yeoh, before they announced the winner, were sitting there holding hands, quite literally across a man. They were like, screw you, husband. Us ladies are sticking together.
I feel like you're yelling at me right now.
I'm not. It's just the way I get so passionate about things. And I just loved it because I thought it was, for women, it's so, it's hard to maintain like really impactful relationships. And to see women supporting other women is such an important thing for, I think, younger girls, especially those young girls who are very catty and just rude and awful to each other. And to see women who are just like, we love you, we support you, you know, everybody kind of hugging around Michelle Yeoh. They ran up to her and gave her this big hug. Stephanie Hsu also came up to her and was super emotional for her too. To see how impactful her winning that award was, not just for Michelle Yeoh, but for everybody in the audience, was so cool. It was so cool.
Standing ovation.
And yeah.
It was very cool.
You love to see it.
Very excited. Very excited for her. And loved it. She brought up, hey, don't ever tell a woman that she's past her prime. Love that. Michelle Yeoh's awesome. And in terms of the rest of the list, look, Andrea Riseborough was great. So maybe you don't like her grassroots way of getting nominated, but she was great. Ana de Armas was fine.
Do you want to give context to that, though? Not everybody knows about the issues.
There were a lot of issues because some actors made basically a private campaign for Andrea Riseborough, a movie that made like 15 grand, so nobody saw this movie. And they were really pushing her hard for the award, which I guess is potentially against Academy rules. They ruled that it wasn't because it wasn't her doing. Mm-hmm. It was her friends doing. and she got the nomination over who were considered favorites in the category, Danielle Deadwyler, who I think should have won the award because I love Michelle Yeoh, but she was better. Like, she was fantastic in Till.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But didn't even get a nomination, which that sucks because that she should have knocked up Ana de Armas and Michelle Williams easily.
For sure. Michelle Williams, for sure. For sure.
You got it.
No offense
also,
to her.
Also, Viola Davis for The Woman King, which I thought was a great performance. But Viola. I don't think that one was Oscar worthy. But Danielle Deadwyler definitely was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. People want to pick on Andrea Riseborough. Her performance was better than at least four of these. So it's kind of hard to knock that just because it's not who you thought should have been the favorite.
Right.
You know what I mean? And also the fact that people got so uproarious about it just proves to me, so this is really more about how much time you can buy than the award itself. Because if you've got money behind you, then you deserve to be nominated.
Right.
But if you don't have money behind you, then... Oh, wrong. You can't do that.
So is it really about the performance? So
is it really about the best performance? Because that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Because nobody forced anybody to vote for her. They just
brought more attention to
her.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You know, they're going to word it however they want to word it. Best picture, final award. Anything left on the ceremony itself before moving to the big dog?
Well, thanks to Hulu, we didn't get to see the full thing yet, so I don't think so. We covered most of it.
We saw most of it. We did watch every acceptance speech. You know, we covered. We just weren't able to see some of the songs and some of the little bits. I did watch Jimmy Kimmel asking questions of the actors. That
was kind of boring.
Sucked. It was bad. Don't do it again.
I think, you know what, I'm not putting that on him, though.
Slap people.
I don't put it on him, though. It was more the individuals who were responding hardly engaged with it. You know, they were just like not interested.
He had a guy who looked like Chewbacca, but was supposed to be Cocaine Bear. That was not funny.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of not funny
stuff. Yeah. That's not his fault, though.
Yeah.
There was maybe, unless it was his idea.
It was a decent ceremony, but it could have been better. I thought the rapport and the retorts were not as sharp as they should have been. So there you go. Overall, just an okay Oscars. But how do you top last year when people are literally slapping people? I mean...
What do you mean people are literally slapping people? Person literally slapped person. It was a singular incident.
I'm just saying.
Isolated.
Just saying.
But you can't top that. I mean, the buzz is still going to be from last year.
If the ratings are huge, I haven't seen the ratings report yet. It's going to be because people wanted to see some actor get their ass kicked.
Right.
Like, Michelle Yeoh literally could have beat the shit out of half the people in there. So,
oh, you know what? Awesome. I will say that that was the funny part of the ceremony when they were talking about, he was thanking the crisis team, I think it was, and no, it was before that. He was saying, you know, if you're going to try to get up here, you're not going to be able to get up here because I've got so-and-so on my back. I got so-and-so on my back. I got Michelle Yeoh over here, and she's, like, doing some, like, karate moves in her seat. And everybody was just responding really funny and had
that was a good
really
bit.
Funny looks that on their face. Even Steven Spielberg kind of went with it. It was cute.
Okay. Best Picture nominees. The finalists are All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, very overrated movie, by the way, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, Women Talking. So the winner was Everything Everywhere All at Once. And the producers were Daniel Kwan, Daniel Scheinert, and Jonathan Wang. Jonathan Wang went first, and everybody's like, who's this dude? Because we haven't seen him on all of these award circuits. But he is one of the producers. That's who was speaking. He gave a very good speech. I think he messed up one line where he's like, oh, people don't come before prophets. I think he said that wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I heard it.
He meant to say
people don't come before prophets, but I think he said it the other way, probably because he was nervous.
Yeah.
But either way. Then Daniel Kwan got up there and gave a great, great speech.
And so, I do appreciate that they gave Jonathan Wang an opportunity to speak from like his Vietnamese roots and how that was important for him and how it was. So I really love that, especially after all of the opportunities that the Daniels had to accept their awards.
Yeah, they got to speak
that they
more
gave
than,
him
literally
an opportunity.
More than everybody, more than Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
They got to talk more than Jimmy Kimmel.
So, 7 out of 11 nominations, right?
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot.
Or 7 or 8. So, congratulations. They deserved it more than... And I honestly, I don't want to say that I'm surprised that they won because I think they fully deserved to win that award, but I'm surprised that the Oscars gave it to them.
Why?
Just because it's such a broad, unique idea and concept, and there was a lot of weirdness to it.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is a weird, weird, weird movie that was amazing.
And
went too long, and it was still amazing.
Only by like 15 minutes.
Yeah, but man, you get to the end, and you're like, okay, too long, let's go.
But I think just to, and I really love the speech about how, you know, everybody around them in that production was weird, and how, you know, giving some praise to weird ideas, and it made it okay to be weird and to have weird thoughts and like do weird things with your concepts and your film. And so I hope that that inspires people to use their weirdness in art to do whatever they are passionate about and not feel restricted like, oh, I'm too weird, I won't be accepted.
Yeah.
It was like, you can be weird and also be Jamie Lee Curtis and awesome and win an Oscar.
What I personally love about that film in particular is they made a movie and they didn't hold back. They did some of the oddest things I've seen in a movie, and it still works. The hot dog fingers thing got weirder and weirder the more they did it, and they just kept going with it. They have a whole fight scene where a guy lands on a butt plug, and it's like it still works. It's so amazing.
But honestly, the fact that they had the hot dog fingers behind the, like, as they're accepting the award, and they have that on display at the Oscars was hilarious to me. Like, they fully embraced the weirdness of that film.
Mm-hmm. And the googly eyes everywhere. And,
yeah, it was really cool.
Which apparently is now the sign of the Illuminati, just so you know. Just to full come back to that.
But what we should say for people who haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once is that not only is it weird and bizarre conceptually, it also has a very deep metaphorical concept behind it that it's rooted in, with like mental health and relationships and
generational trauma
and cultural differences and all of these different, I mean, so multifaceted, and yet they executed every single idea perfectly. Like, I loved the way that they wrapped it all together. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, like, where the hell is this going? And when it finally comes to its conclusion, you're like, this was incredible. This was tremendous.
It was. And one thing of note is there are a lot of multiple award nominees that got nothing.
Yeah.
Banshees of Inisherin. It's probably why Martin McDonagh was so mad. Elvis, The Fablemans. Steven Spielberg was smiling for everybody, so he doesn't care. And Tar didn't get anything. Triangle of Sadness didn't get anything. So, interesting. But what I did want to close on, Best Picture. So, Harrison Ford is the one that delivered Best Picture. Yeah. And I am so disappointed in that grumpy old man because he had
get off my lawn.
Yeah, instead of, I mean, I'm glad that him and Ki Hai Kwan got to, I almost called Ki Round is what I almost called it. they embraced on stage, and it seemed very loving and very sweet, and I love that. But I was so bummed he didn't, when he opened the envelope, just say, get up here, shorty, or something like that.
Yeah.
I just feel like that was a window to an awesome, memorable line that would have been repeated forever, just to see Indiana Jones like turn a short round and say, get up on stage, shorty, or something like that. Or call him shorty in some way. And just a missed opportunity.
Bro, he's 76 years old or something. He's not going to remember. He probably doesn't even remember he did the movie.
I think he's 80.
He's old is the point.
Yeah.
Well, I was impressed.
I get that.
The man can still walk.
I'm just saying.
He's never been able to run.
Would have been a fantastic way to end
it. It would have. No.
It would have been fantastic.
Not everybody has these creative ideas like you do, Aaron, on the spot.
He's one of the most popular actors of all time. But obviously, his words were written.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Saying. No ad libs.
Right, he is 80. Man, he's old. He doesn't look that old, though.
Yeah, Indiana Jones and a broken hip. Yeah.
It's going to be the sixth installment or seventh or whatever.
So it was awesome to see them embrace, though. I mean, I wish Kate Capshaw would have ran up the stage.
That would have been cool.
Just to make it weird and fun.
Yeah, round it out.
It is what it is. And I thought it was a good event, a good Oscars. It was back to just keeping it, you know, low key for the most part. Nothing too insane. And Any last words?
No, I think we ended on a good note.
We ended on a great note. It's time to wrap it up. Remember, go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts, and also jump on Patreon and support us there, patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. We'll be back next week with our South by Southwest film coverage. We're going to mention movies like Dungeons and Dragons, which was great.
Awesome!
Hypnotic, which is a new Ben Affleck and Robert Rodriguez movie. Evil Dead Rise, most likely, we're going to be talking about.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
We haven't gotten there yet. And some other
potentially
maybe some Wickedness, plus some fun endies.
Well, so, some for sure Wickedness. Well, mostly for sure Wickedness.
It's a secret screening that we're going to. We think it's John Wick 4. We'll tell you for sure next week. But that's it for The Hollywood Outsider. We're done. Say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye! That's for John.
Aw, we miss him.
No, we're good.
He would have hit so many buttons today.
Take care, guys.